37. And before we get right into it, I'm wondering if maybe someone has a good word for the Lord tonight. Any testimony you'd like to tell the church tonight? Something good that's happened to you maybe this week? Anybody at all? Yes, ma'am. Amen.
They don't know exactly what it is.
Amen.
But it's not cancer,
good.
So that's good. And then I got a lot of hand that I didn't really expect. I invited them as I always do. But
praise the Lord.
Showed up.
That's good. Amen. That was exciting to see that too. Anybody else? Anybody else? Good word for the Lord tonight. Yes, Brother Rick. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Good word for the Lord tonight. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, amen. All right. Yeah. Good. Yeah, we had a good time. We took a good crowd, had the seven teens and then several workers, and good crowd of teens were up there, and it was real blessing to go up to see some of the folks at my home church there, and just a privilege to go up and preach, seems like the weekend started. It's been a long weekend, amen, but it's been exciting. It has been exciting, and it was good to see some of the response of the teenagers. Had a couple preachers, and it was just a real good evening. And anybody else? Yes, Beth? Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay, good. Good. Amen. I'll be waiting for the call. Okay, praise the Lord. Anybody else? It's Brother Allen.
All of us are here today to meet each other, to worship.
Yes.
Second, last but not the least, we have food preparing for us.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, I praise the Lord for that testimony. I tell you, she's patient when she's got a preacher like me. Just kind of who knows what direction I'll go sometimes, but I am very grateful. That's good. Anybody else? It's either you or me. All right. Okay, take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we're going to go ahead and stand and read verses 13 through 19. Genesis chapter 7, verses 13 through 19. We will read responsively. I'll read and you read and so forth. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them, And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. The man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 19 together, they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your book. We thank you for the privilege to preach to these dear people whom I love. Lord, I just pray, God, that you just fill your servant with your power. Give me the words to speak tonight. Just open every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to speak to you a little bit tonight on the will of God. God has a will for everyone. He expects us to do that will. The will of God has, for me, if you will, is not going to be exactly the same will that God has for you. We do know, however, that what God has for us to do, we are to follow it. We are to trust God. We are to follow His guiding hand. God's will may not always be easy. Some of the terrain we go down in His path may be rough and steep, but we always know that God is with us all the way. Such is the case with Joseph, a young teenage lad. Joseph was a 17-year-old boy here in this passage, and the Bible says that he was loved by his father more than all his children. I still can't figure out why a dad would love a son more than his children, but that's what the Bible says, and for now I'm just going to have to go with that. But the Bible says that this lad, Joseph, was loved more by his father than all his children. Joseph received a very special gift. That was, of course, the coat of many colors, which he cherished very much. The gifts he received, the love he received, did not set well with his brothers. The Bible says in this passage that his brothers hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to read a few verses here to try to get us up to speed. Joseph had some dreams. Now, number one, you know, just because of the love that dad had towards Joseph and because of the gifts that dad gave to Joseph, his brothers hated him and they could not speak peaceably with him. Verse 4, let me read verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brother, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told to his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. You see, they hated him more. First of all, the Bible says they hated him. They couldn't speak peaceably with him because of the love that dad had for his for Joseph and because of the gift. And then these dreams that Joseph dreamed, boy, they couldn't even stand the guy, the Bible says. They couldn't even be around him. They said, you know what? Hey, I've had enough. Hey, dad, you know what? You got some flock down in Shechem. We are going to get out of here. We are going to leave, and we're going to go down there. We're going to get away from this dreamer.
And of course, that's where they headed. And to make matters worse, they just went ahead and just up and left. And after they had left Israel, he asked his son Joseph. Now, here was Israel, Jacob, if you will, but Israel in this passage. He came to Joseph and he said, "Are not your brothers?" We read it right here. And Israel said unto Joseph, verse number 13, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said them three very important words: "Here am I." Israel, who is a type of Christ here, asked him to go check on his brothers. Asked Joseph, "Okay, Joseph, I want you to go down. I want you to check on your brothers." And what did Joseph respond? "Here am I, Dad. Here am I." You know, I have yet to find any rebellion here. I have yet to find any place here where Joseph would have said, "Hey, Dad, listen to me. I think there might be somebody better fitted to do this job than me. I want you to understand something, that my brothers hate me." He could have gone ahead and had a whole list. But you know what? Tonight, number one, this shows the obedience to the will of God. Tonight, I'm going to point out 4 points that a child of God must do and even face if you will be in the center of God's will. Number one, if we're going to be in the center of God's will, we must be obedient to the will of God. Here am I. Here was Dad said, "Hey, Joseph, go down, check on your brothers." And you know what did Joseph say? He said, "Here am I." Joseph was asked to do a big task, and he said, "Go and do it." And he said, "Here am I." You will not find him rebelling against his father's will. You will not find him saying, "Go have somebody else." He did not say, "Dad, have a servant do it." He did not say, "You don't understand, they hate me." He did not say, "I'm too busy." You know, when mama and daddy ask you to do something, you don't tell them you're too busy. You stop and you do it. You will not find Joseph, a young Joseph, by the way, a 17-year-old Joseph, by the way. You know what he said to his daddy? "Here am I," a sure sign of obedience. He said, "Hey, Dad, you're my dad." And obviously there was some Christian principles in the home. "You're my dad." And he said, "Here am I." He didn't give his dad any lip. He didn't go ahead and say, "Dad, no, I can't do this." He didn't go ahead and say, "Dad, I'm busy." He didn't go ahead and say, "I want to do my own thing." No, Dad, he didn't go ahead and give some excuse and say, "Hey, listen, Dad, I want you to understand, they hate me. They can't stand me." He didn't go ahead and say that. He said, "Okay, Dad, I will go ahead and do it. Here am I." God asks us to do some things. How do we respond? He tells us that it is his will to get saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9c, the last part of that verse, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing. You know, that tells me that it's the will of God that we ought to be saved. We ought not go ahead and push God away. Today's a day of salvation, and I believe that it's obviously God's will for us to get saved. Don't put it off till tomorrow. And you know what? You're not guaranteed another tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the next hour. And let me tell you something. If you're sitting here on a Sunday night service and you don't know for sure you're saved, hey, let me plead with you. Get saved. Don't you push them off. Hey, if the Holy Spirit keeps on dealing with you during a preaching service or during a Sunday school class and he's dealing with you, hey, you know what? Just say, obey the Holy Spirit. Say, "Here am I." That's what Joseph did. Joseph went ahead and he responded. He didn't go ahead and give an excuse to his dad. He said, "Here am I." Hey, it's the will of God that we get saved. It's the will of God that we get baptized after salvation. The Bible says in Acts 2:41a, and it reads, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." His word first came first. Okay, baptism did not go ahead and step out in front. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." After they got saved, they got baptized. Okay, you don't get saved by baptism. You're not going to go to heaven by you just being baptized. You get saved first, and then you get baptized. This passage in Acts chapter 2 is talking about that great day of Pentecost where many, many, many people got saved. The preacher got up and waxed eloquent, and many, oh boy, the Holy Spirit pricked their hearts, and people got saved. And at the end of that chapter, this is where Acts 2:41 is. It says, "And when they gladly received the word, they got baptized." After salvation, baptism comes by immersion. It is God's will. It's not just that he wants us to get saved. It's not just that he wants us to get baptized. He also wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stagnate. He wants to be productive. 2 Peter 3:18, very simple verse, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Hey, where's the knowledge of our Lord and Savior? Right there in that book. You know, boy, I'm telling you, the truth of the matter is, some of us, if we're not careful, we're going to be dead Christians. You know, it'd be a shame to have someone who's been saved for 30 years and then someone who just got saved all of a sudden just jump ahead of that one that for 30 years. You know what? You know what that 30-year-old Christian is? If that's the case, dead. Dead. And the Bible says to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You know what? It is God's will for us not to just not to just stagnate. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to wither away. Hey, he wants us to go ahead and grow. He wants us to read the Word of God. It is his will that we read the Bible and study it. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, it's God's will for us to go ahead and read the Bible and grow thereby. It is his will to tell others about Jesus. Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15. There's two words there. Go ye. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15 says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Matthew 28:19-20. And the Bible says that go ye, not sit ye, not just sit there and watch everybody else do it. Not just, it doesn't say go preacher. Though the preacher's supposed to go. It doesn't just say, go Sunday school teacher. Though the Sunday school teacher ought to go. It doesn't just say, go deacon. No, go ye. Ye is very broad. That means you. And we ought to be doing everything we can to go ahead and tell the lost about Jesus and take some tracts with you. Well, I encourage you. You know, if all you can do is take a handful of tracts and pass them out during the week to some lost folks, I think God would be pretty pleased about that. I think he'd be very, very happy about, you know what, the church has a budget for these tracts. Let's pass them out and get the lost saved. Amen. All right, get them quiet. Don't get quiet on me now. Come on now. You know, if I got to keep moving here. But the truth of the matter is, go ye, not sit ye. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. We are required to obey the will of God through soul winning. You know, Dr. Curtis Hudson, who's now passed away, he was a former editor of the Sword of the Lord. He once said, the only alternative to soul winning. Is disobedience to Christ. Why? Because Jesus commanded us to go ahead and go tell the lost about Christ. It is his will for us to be faithful to church. You know, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's pretty plain. And by the way, you know what? Don't get mad at me. This is what the Bible says. Okay? I'm the messenger. Okay? But the Bible says it is his will to be faithful to church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know what? You know what? You ought to just decide, Christian. You know what? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's three to thrive, but go four to soar, amen? And go hit that Sunday school. And you know what? You ought to just decide as a Christian parent. You know one of the greatest things I did, even before I was pastoring? I just decided we were going to church. You know why? Because I realized that's the greatest place for my kids. You know what? And let me tell you something. My kids have benefited. You know what? If anything else, my kids have benefited from, and don't get me wrong, my wife and I have too, obviously. But you know, I learned this even before I became a pastor, even before I went to a Bible college and became a full-time Christian servant. You know what? Hey, it's been the best thing for my kids, and it's been the best thing for my family. And you know what? The Bible says we ought to, that we're commanded to, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. You know, God says it, we ought to believe it, and that just ought to settle it. Amen? Amen. I know, getting quiet, but I'm not trying. Listen to me. Listen, are you looking for numbers? No, I'm looking for you to grow, and I'm looking for God to go ahead and bless you, and I'm looking for many, many great things. I love church. You say, well, preacher, you ought to love church. You got to go there. You're there, obviously. But I love church. You know, I loved what we did today, man. I mean, the fellowship and the food and even the work that goes in with it. I had a good time. You know, I love Sunday mornings. Yeah, I do. I tell you what, I said it this morning, but I got to say it again. When I get down here and act foolish, I still love it. You know, them little boys and girls smiling and singing, and you know what? That just blesses my gizzard. Do we have a gizzard? I don't know if we have a gizzard, but you know what? It sounded good. Amen. Stay out of my preaching. Amen now, but listen to me. But you know, it just blesses my heart. Boy, it just blesses my soul. Boy, I love Sunday school. I love church. I love Sunday morning church. I love fellowshipping with the people of God. I love preaching the gospel. I love soul winning. I love Wednesday night church. I like Sunday night church. I like Patch a Pirate, though I can't be there very much, but I like Patch a Pirate still and singing all them songs. I like to see all the kids all dressed up in their little patch uniforms and getting ready to sing. I like church. Amen. I like reading my Bible. I just love church. You know what? I love Jesus. Amen. But boy, let me just say this. It's God's will for us to be faithful to church. Boy, there's so many opportunities in church. So many opportunities to serve God. Look at this. Think, you know, how God has served you. Boy, he gave you his son. And there's nothing we can do to compare to that. I know that. But boy, we ought to be a part of whatever we can do to go ahead and give back to him. I mean, whatever it is, man, whether it can be just serving on a bus or serving in a Sunday school class or helping here or teaching a class, whatever the case may be, boy, you know what? We ought to be obedient to the will of God. Say, here am I. You know, it's God's will for us to be in church, getting our children in church. It's God's will for us to be good parents, amen? It's God's will for us to teach the children, our children, the Bible. Amen. Get the Word of God in the house. You know, Dad, let me tell you something. You know, and it took me a long time to figure this out, and I don't know why. It's a no-brainer, but the truth of the matter is, as a leader of my home, you know, I'm responsible for my kids and how they turn out, and I had to do everything I can to, you know what, like I said, I just decided we're going to church, even before preaching, man, even before pastoring. And you know what, and I decided, you know what, the Bible's going to be the center of our home. You know, we're going to get up, and I know it's hard sometimes. We're going to get up. We're going to read the Bible together as a family. It's a special time, by the way. And yes, and it is early, by the way. But you know what? We start our day out right. Amen. You know, God ought to be the center point of your home. Dads, take the lead in your home and decide that you're going to go ahead and read the Bible with your kids. You know, I loved it when my youngest daughter, when my little kids, I love hearing little kids just read the Bible. You know, I remember when Abigail was younger. You know, I'm using her as an example, but that's okay. She likes it, I think. Amen. Is she here? I remember when she couldn't read yet. We'd sit around as a family. You remember this? Sit around as a family. I'd go ahead and read the verses for her, and then she'd just go ahead and say it after me. You say what I say type of thing. But the truth of the matter, you know, I love hearing little kids read the Bible. I love hearing little kids quote scripture. I don't know, maybe that's part of Patch a Pirate, but I like to hear little kids just get up and quote scripture. Get them in unison together and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, moving right along. All right, it's his will for us to get saved. It's his will for us to get baptized. It's his will for us to parent and teach our kids. It's his will for us to be faithful to church. It's his will for us to tithe. Amen. Amen. It's his will for us to tithe. It's hard, I know. I mean, that's one of the hardest things that people say. But you know what? The more you do it, the easier it gets. Really. You know what? If we would just have this attitude that I have, and wash away this attitude of I have to do this instead of I get to do this, you know, change your whole life. You know, get this attitude that, you know, got to take your wallet out. Oh, you know, you think it's the worst thing in the world. Why? No! But you know what? The more you do it, the more you take out that check. And by the way, that when your paycheck comes in, the first check you ought to write out ought to be your tithe. Get it sealed in an envelope. And we'll have it for you. Amen. Okay, but get them sealed and get them in that plate and give to Jesus. Well, you know what? You know what? What he commands us to give is just a fraction of what he's given to us. It's just a little minute fraction of what he gives to us. You know, the tithe is 10%. The tithe means it's 10 cents of every dollar, or $10 of every 100 belongs to God. Hey, you know, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, very familiar, but will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, but ye have robbed me even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? Right here in church. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if it will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, you know, the Bible says, you know, God says we ought to tithe. If we don't, we rob him. And the truth of the matter is, you know what, we can go ahead and have this attitude. No, God, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this. But you know what, not my money. You know, it's his money in the first place. By the way, he'll get it eventually. You know, about that time we had that attitude that, no, I'm not going to do that. You sit right on that wallet and make sure nobody moves, and you're going to strap yourself down to that chair when the offering plate, nobody's going to go ahead and get it. Let me tell you something, that kind of attitude, you know what, you might be due for a flat tire tomorrow. Okay? And the Bible says, prove me. Test me. Now, wait a minute. If you had a flat tire and so forth, hey, I wasn't picking on you. I don't know. Believe me, I'm not, you know, don't get me wrong. I don't go around thinking, whoa, you know, I don't do that. Believe me. But the truth of the matter is, I want to help you tonight. And you know what? One of the greatest things I can do to help you, tithe, by telling you to tithe. Take 10% and just give it to God. And by the way, like I said, he will get it. But he says, go ahead and prove me. He says, go ahead and test me. Check it out. See if it works. You know, I can't, I'm not going to sit here and say I can't afford it. I can't afford not to tithe, man. I can't afford not to give. I'm going to give back a portion, that 10% that he has gone ahead and given to me. He deserves it after all. Give it to Jesus. Prove him. Test him. And see if he won't supply. You know, I find he's always showed up. You know, and sometimes, and by the way, and this is one of the hardest things to live by, a budget. Boy, it's mean. It's nasty. I mean, it's a tough thing to live. You know, nobody likes a budget. You know, you get that paycheck. You know, I know. Okay, just work with me a little bit. We're having a good time tonight, but yet we're just getting started, amen? And don't worry about the time. I've seen the time, and I know what time it is, okay? So everything's fine. And by the way, I'm not even halfway through, but it's okay. It's okay. We're having a good time. Amen? Amen. All right, just making sure. But you know, I had this little spiel. I don't even know what I was going to say, but that's okay. But the truth of the matter is, I forgot my line, but the truth of the matter is, hey, you know what? You can't give to God. You know, give him the portion that he deserves. Give him the 10%. Hey, just go ahead and say, okay, God, here am I. You know, yes, here am I as far as your church attendance. Here am I as far as being a good Christian parent and teaching your kids. Here am I, obviously, due to soul winning. Here am I. You know what? These are all things that God wants you to do and to be in his will. Hey, tithe. Hey, God, here am I. I'll go ahead and do it. Joseph did not excuse himself of the task. He was obedient to his father's will. He didn't go ahead and find something else to do. He didn't go ahead and say, Dad, I'm not going to do it. No, he said, here am I. Joseph did it without excuse. Joseph just went ahead and said, here am I. Hey, what's the Holy Spirit knocking on your door about tonight? You know, the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. You know, what is he knocking on your door about? What can you do for him? Hey, don't go ahead and push him away. Hey, follow what the Holy Spirit says. You try, Pastor, I can't go soul winning. I can't do it. Have you tried, though? I can't pass out of track. Have you ever tried? You said, I can't. Maybe you say, I can't teach a class. Have you even tried? You say, I can't tithe. Have you tried? You say, I can't go ahead and do this, or I can't go ahead and do that. Hey, have you even tried? You say, I can't. But you know what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's pretty broad. All things. All. That's a broad word. Amen? Joseph was obedient to his father's will. And in these areas that I told that we talked about, your of course, your salvation, don't put God, if you're not saved tonight, don't put it off. Get baptized, grow in grace, read your Bible, parent, tithe, give to God, be in church, get your family in church, amen. Number two, he was obligated to his father's will. You know, when he got down to Shechem, let me get back to my text here. When he got down to Shechem, oh, I am getting there somewhere. All right. We're doing good. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 37. I want to get back and read a portion of scripture here. Here I am. Okay. All right, right on down to verse number 17, I'll read verse 16. And he said, I seek my brethren, tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. You know what? What did Dad say? Dad said, go to Shechem. That was the command of his dad. Is not your brothers in Shechem? I like this. Whenever I read this, man, I tell you what, it blesses me. Dad said, okay, let's read it, just so that you, in Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy father's flock, your brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, here am I. Right on down. You know what? Joseph got to Shechem. He got down there, he got looking around, and he said, man, Dad said Shechem. He looked at the map, maybe, okay, they're supposed to be right here in this spot. And you know, he got wandering around, there's a man there, said, hey, son, what you looking for? You know, and he says, well, I'm looking for my father's flock. My brothers are down here tending the sheep. You know, I they're in Dothan. You know, at that time, I just love this. You know, at that time, Joseph really could have turned around and went home. Because he had already gone, listen to me. I want all eyeballs up here. You know, I can help you teens and young people. Okay, look right up here now. Come on. All right, if anything's in your hand, just look right this way. Okay, I want to help you. But you know, he had gone ahead and said, you know, Dad said Shechem. And you know, the truth of the matter is, I'm sure that this young boy, he was scared about this trip. I would have been. Knowing that my brothers hated me, they couldn't even stay at home because they couldn't stand me. I'm sure there was a little bit of fear being a young man like this. But you know what? He went down to Shechem. And you know what I like about this? He could have gone ahead and gone back home. He could have gone ahead and said anything to him. Hey, Dad, everything's all set down there. He could have said, oh, Dad, they're not there. You told me to go to Shechem. But you know what? Because of his obedience to his father's will, he said, I'm going to finish this job. You know, I'm supposed to, yeah, he said to go see the brothers in Shechem. I went to Shechem. He could have gone ahead and just done it halfway, but he says, you know what? I know Dad's heart was for me to go check on the brothers. I'm going to finish the job that Dad told me to finish. I'm going to keep going. You know what? We ought to be obligated to the will of God. We need Christians not to just be obedient, but remain obligated even when the road gets tough. I try, you know, you say, well, I've tried teaching. It did not work. They don't listen. Let me tell you something. They get a whole lot more than you think. You may have a little children's class, and they may wander all over. But let me tell you something. You be faithful, and you remain obligated to that class. You pray for that class. You think about them throughout the week. You lift them up to Christ all week long. Let me tell you something. Them little boys and girls, them little 3- and 4-year-olds, them first, second, third graders, them little boys and girls will get a whole lot more here than they would be at home. Thank God that they're in church. Thank God for the faithfulness of some teachers that will get up and say, I'm going to remain not just obedient, but I'm going to go ahead and take it a step further, and I'm going to stay obligated. I'm not going to go ahead and be a quitter. We don't need Christian quitters tonight. We need people. We need some workers that will stay obligated. You say, well, I've tried teaching. It doesn't work, so I'm going to get done. I've tried sewing. It doesn't work, so I quit. Hey, let me tell you, don't tell me it didn't work. It worked yesterday twice. Amen, Brother Joe. We saw two people saved. Yes, don't tell me that soul winning doesn't work. Don't tell me that there's some lost person out there that doesn't want to hear the gospel. Two of them got saved yesterday. Amen. And two got saved this morning in junior church. Amen. Hey, soul winning still works, but you say, I've tried it. It doesn't work. By the way, it's a command of God. Until the very day that Jesus comes back, we're still to go soul winning. Amen. I tried tithing, but I wasn't blessed. Hey, you maybe didn't try it long enough. You keep on being faithful. You keep on being obedient. Hey, you know what? And the Bible doesn't say just go ahead and do it if it works. Hey, you just go ahead and do it because it's right, and just keep on doing it. Amen. Amen. I tried so many. I tried tithing. I tried reading my Bible, but wasn't getting anything out of it. You keep reading that Bible till it burns in your soul. You just keep on reading it. So I didn't get anything today. You just pick it up tomorrow. You keep on reading. You keep on being faithful. God will go ahead and show you something. Parent, you give your kids all you have. You stay obligated to your kids. I'm so sick and tired of this society just being buddy, 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 buddy with their kids when they do wrong, when they want to listen to their music and different things. Oh, parents, just go ahead and slap them on the hand. Hey, we need some Christian parents that will stand up and say, hey, you don't want to put that stuff in your mind. You don't want to go ahead and pollute your mind with that. Hey, we need some parents that will say no to that TV. We need some parents that will say no to some music. We need some parents that will just parent and stay obligated and love your children. Amen. We need some folks that are just stand up and give God all they got and just not do a half-hearted. Joseph didn't do it half-heartedly. He didn't turn back. And let me tell you something. I'm not turning back on my kids. You know what? I'm going to go ahead. We have some rules. And some people may think they're strict, whatever the case, but I love my kids. And you know what? I'm obligated to my family, and I'm obligated to go ahead and raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. We need to remain obligated, not be half-hearted. The problem is we have so many half-hearted Christians today. We go to church half-hearted. Is it any wonder why we don't grow? We don't come expecting something. Amen. I love preaching. When I go here preaching, I go expecting to get something. I went up and preached Friday night, and I was blessed by the first speaker. I sat there, and I was amen, and boy, I was blessed to my gizzard, and I used it again, amen, but I was blessed. I was blessed by that speaker. You know what? Go to church expecting to get something. Don't go half, well, you know, it's my duty. Well, you know what? If that's the only reason why you show up, bless God, you ought to be here. Amen. But the truth of the matter is come and enjoy it. Come and put a smile on your face. Come and get excited about it. Hey, become obligated to your church attendance. Become obligated to your teaching, your Sunday school class. Don't quit on them, kids. They need you. Become obligated and remain obligated to your tithing. Remain obligated to serving people. Joseph did not turn back even when he could have. He went and said, I have a job to do, and I'm going to go ahead and finish it for my daddy. We become more obligated to TV than we do church and reading the Bible. We know more about what's going on the TV guide and the TV guide or on the TV guide channel than we do what's going on in church or in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Come on now. You say, you against TV? No, I have two of them, but the truth of the matter is I've got it controlled. Amen. And the truth of the matter is I'm not going to go ahead and have TV take the place of church on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning. We'll go ahead and our priorities get all out of whack. We know when our shows are on, but we kind of forget when church starts. Amen. Let me just remind you. Amen now. 9:45, 10:45, and 6 o'clock, and 6:30 Wednesday night. Amen. You think I almost forgot. Hey, I know. I'm here. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, listen, we need to become obligated. Boy, we need to go ahead and just become obligated to serving God. We know more about what's going on TV and out in the world than we do in this book right here. We need to make this book the center of your home. Make it the center of your life. Work has replaced God. Money has replaced God. We feel like that we got to go ahead. I don't even have any to show you tonight, but we feel like we got to go ahead and try to earn the extra buck and replace God with it. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, let's keep God number one. He'll bless you. We become more obligated to things than we have serving God. We spend more time on the TV or internet than we do God. You know, if we would just go ahead, you know, I've had people say, "Well, I don't have time to walk with God." But how much time have you watched TV today? How much time were you on the internet today? Now, wait a minute, listen to me. All that becomes important. And over here, we leave God hanging. The very one that loves you, who gave you life and gave it to you more abundantly. Hey, we need to become obligated to some things. What's really important in your life? What's really important, church? Is your family important enough to get the Bible out and read it? Is your Sunday school important enough for you to just keep on keeping on, even when you feel like it's not working? And let me tell you, I'll encourage you, it is working. Our priorities get out of whack. Are we going to let some 17-year-old lad in the Bible, Joseph, show better responsibility than us? Boy, I'm telling you, 17-year-old, the responsibility that he faced, 17 years, you know, he loved his dad. You know what? I think he was hoping, man, I can't wait to get back home after this journey. You know, because of the love that was the bond that he had with his daddy, I think he was hoping, I can't wait to get back home. But you know what, little Joseph, he never got back home. You know why? Why? He could have gone home because he was obligated to the task. God's will, we need to obey it. We need to stay obligated to the will of God. But when you do, let me just say this, you're going to face some obstacles. Joseph faced his brothers who hated him. He faced a pit that he was thrown in. He faced being lied about to his dad when his brothers dipped his coat in blood and said, "Hey, I think a wild beast got him." He faced being sold into slavery. He faced the fear of the unknown at a 17-year-old lad. He faced prison. He faced accusation from Potiphar's wife. He faced more prison. He faced being forgotten about in prison. But yet, he did not quit. You know, the Bible says that everything that Joseph did, he prospered. Genesis 39:2, it says, and I'm going to just read a few verses over just a passage here. I'm just going to read a few verses. 39:2, and the Lord was with Joseph, okay? Joseph being tested now, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Verse number 3, and that the Lord, at the end of that verse, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse number 23 of chapter 39, the very last statement, the Lord made it to prosper. You know what? God didn't forget about Joseph. God took care of him through all the adversity. God's will may have some obstacles. You say, you know, let me just say this. If you want to go ahead and be sold out to God's will, I mean, and just doing, obeying and being obligated to the will of God, you know what? You will face some obstacles. I wish I could tell you that it was always going to be a mountaintop experience, but you know what? We all have to go through the valleys. We all face obstacles. There's going to be some obstacles. You will face disappointments in the ministry that you have. People will mock you and make fun of you, and it'll cause you to perhaps want to quit. But we don't need quitters for God. We need people that will just stick with it. You know, I ain't quitting. Amen. You know, times will get to, you know what? And people tell me, I've had people, pastors tell me, you know what? Your first several months is a honeymoon, but just hold on. You know, you wait there'll be some pressures. And church, I just warn you, we'll have pressures. Okay, there'll be battles. There'll be scars. There'll be victories. Yet there'll be some defeats. Not defeats to a point where we'll quit, obviously. But there'll be some low valleys and there'll be some high mountains. But let me tell you something, we ain't a-quitting. Hey, your preacher ain't a-quitting tonight. You say, well, you shouldn't say ain't, but I am. Amen. I'm not quitting. I ain't quitting. Adversity's going to come and I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And we need some toughness, some Christians who prepare for war and for the obstacles to come. Hey, you know what, Joseph, he was obedient, which we need to be obedient to God. He was obligated to that task. He could have turned around, but you know what, he became obligated and said, you know, I'm going to finish the job. And we need Christians tonight to finish the job till the very day that we depart this earth, until Jesus comes. And then, yes, you're going to face some obstacles, and then this is my last. After you face the obstacles, you know, he became an overcomer. He overcame them all. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 41, I'm going to read a few verses, verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? Meaning Joseph, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be ruler, or thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Listen, you know what? We know the dreams that Pharaoh had, and how Joseph went ahead, and he was the man that went interpreted them dreams and told them about the 7 bad years, 7 good years of famine, different things. And let me tell you something. You know, through it all, Joseph was in prison. He got brought up out of prison. Guess what? Right here, he's overcome. He overcame all them obstacles. You know what? God prospered him. God went ahead and took care of him through the lowest valleys. And look at where he's at today. And you may think, you know what, pastor, preacher, the will of God just isn't fair. It just isn't right. I'm not going to obey it anymore. I'm not going to be obligated to this. It's just, I just deserve better. Hey, you know what? Joseph deserved better too, but he kept on keeping on. He kept on going forward. And guess what? He faced the obstacles and he became an overcomer. Amen. We need some overcomers. People that will just stick with it. And when the obstacles are down here, and when you feel like you're down and out, hey, you just keep on going forward. Maybe you're limping a little bit. Maybe you've got an arm broken. Maybe whatever you've been shot at. The arrows have been shot at you. The devil's been beating you up. But we just need some people that just keep on going. Keep on serving on that bus route. Keep on loving your kids. Keep on loving your wife. Keep on loving your husband. Keep on serving in that Sunday school class. And just keep on going. And when the obstacles come, hey, let me tell you something. Victory's going to come. Just like it came to Joseph. And look at where he's at today. He is second over the land of Egypt. He is ruler, and nobody became greater. He was right under Pharaoh, and he was used mightily of God to save a nation. If we would just be obedient to the will of God and just stick with it, you know what? It might be then you'll see some fruit in your life. Why don't we see fruit? Because we quit. We always quit just at the time when maybe the fruit was going to be ready. Just before. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we need some people just to stick with the will of God. Remember his brothers hated him for his dreams? Hey, brothers, who's right? Who was right, brothers? God watched out for Joseph and caused him to save a nation. He saved his family, showed much grace to his brothers. Joseph had the right attitude. He never retaliated. It's another whole sermon. I'm not going to go there tonight, obviously. But he never retaliated. You know what? He went ahead and he showed love to his family and he saved the nation. What was Joseph? He stuck with it and he became an overcomer. You know what? I'm just beginning to think if Joseph can go ahead at the age of 17 and start going through it, you know, I think we can make it. You know, I think we can make it. I think whatever doctor's report comes, you know what, we can just keep on plodding forward and go, keep making it. I think whatever grief comes, you know what, yeah, it happens, you know, but we can just keep on making it. I think whatever big days that we have and victories that we have, you know what, and by the way, you know, it's nice to have these, okay, but we can't dwell here all the time, so it's just going to go like this, okay, but you know what, we can make it. If God used Joseph, he can use you. Mom and dad, if God used Joseph, he can use you. Sunday school teacher, maybe a little discouraged. If God used Joseph, he can use you. Hey, bus captain, if God used Joseph, he can use you. Hey, preacher, if God used Joseph, he can use you. Tonight, who will step up and say, you know, I want to do something for my Savior? You know, I think I can go ahead and say them three words. Okay, God, hear me. You know, them three words, truth of the matter is, really changed Joseph's life. He didn't know it at the time. He was probably scared when he said them three words. I'm sure he was. But man, I guarantee you, as he's standing up here, second to the throne, he's looking back and said, boy, I'm glad that I obeyed my daddy. Because Egypt's been going to be saved. I'm glad I said them three words back there. Here am I. Who will go ahead and be obedient to the will of God. Obligated to his will. Yes, face the obstacles, but stick with it. And then God will give you the ability to overcome in his will. We need some Christians who just step up and say, you know, I can do this. Preacher, what do you need? I can go soul winning. I can pass out tracts. I could teach a Sunday school class. I could work on a bus. I could clean a month. I could do this. I could do that. Who will go ahead and step up and say, I'll serve? Who will just keep on tithing and not rob God? Who will be faithful to church? Who will go ahead and continue to teach your children and be a good example? Who will read their Bible and pray? Who will go ahead and tell others about Jesus? Who will just say simply tonight, here am I. When I was called to come here, I accepted the pastor here. You know, I wasn't sure. Probably like you were unsure to some degree. I was fearful and apprehensive, probably a little bit like you too. Let me just say this and bare my heart a minute. I'm glad I'm here. You know, I just going to say I pastor the greatest bunch of people. And I don't mean to call you a bunch, but you know, I think you know what I mean. I mean it affectionately. The greatest people in the world. I love this church. I love you people, and I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm very thrilled about what we're doing. And you know what? I got thinking about this as I was typing this out and preparing this afternoon. I'm glad I said, here am I. I love it. I'm glad that I said, here am I. I'm going to go ahead and I do this once in a while, and then I'll close it in a minute, but I want you to listen to a song. It's going to be played in just a second. I want you to just listen to the words. So, Ty, you know, it'll be familiar to some of you, but just if you're going to, don't sing it out loud if you know the song. It's a good song. It's got a strong message. I think it kind of fits what I'm preaching tonight. I want you to think about it, hide it in your heart, and then I'll close in just a moment. Listen to the song as it's played.
So many lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God made some willing vessels to be used.
Here am I, O God. The lost ones home. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson throne. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really say? Are we true in praying for the blind to find their way? When our children are falling into a burning hell, will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson throne.
My Savior died on that old rugged cross. He thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply?
Here am I will go. I will reach the lost and lost. I will give control.
I will tell them of the crimson flame. I will tell them of the crimson flame. Here am I.
I want Sean to reset that and turn it down just a little bit in just a couple moments. But I'm wondering here tonight, I've listed several things. What area is God poking at you at right now? What is it that he's poking at right now? I want you to decide tonight, you know, Joseph, the greatest statement he could have ever made was, here am I. They changed a nation. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. No one's looking. And I'm going to go ahead and just, I don't know what the Lord's dealing with you about tonight. But you know, we're going to hear that song again. And if you've got to do business with God, maybe you haven't used the altar in a long time. What is it that God's poking at you about? What is it? Maybe it's just some, issue in your life. Maybe it's just maybe you just got to say, okay, God, here am I want to deal with it. I want to get it right. Whatever it is. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless this invitation. I ask you to bless these dear people. I pray, God, that you'd have your will and way now. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The music's going to play during this invitation. That song right there. And if you've got to do something, why don't you decide tonight? I'm going to move. Okay, hear my God. Whatever you want, God, whatever you want me to do to help with this church, whatever you want me to do for my family, right, hear my.
So many.
How about you tonight?
And dying,
what can you do?
In this world today,
could you maybe pass out a couple tracts?
Have you heard their crying,
just to try to help a little boy and girl get to heaven?
You turn away,
could you maybe go ahead and.
The harvest,
what can you do?
Is plenteous. But the
tonight,
laborers are few.
Just decide, whatever it is.
God,
okay, God, here.
A willing vessel,
I'm going
to
give it to you.
Here am I. Here am I.